The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. If you've seen the timestamp on this podcast, it's a long one. We have a lot to get to tonight, including In-Hyuk Lee, Obi-Wan, He-Man. We even work Elvis in. And then we get into the entire Sony debacle. And of course, we talk about this week's books. Great recommended reading, which we've renamed. So let's just hurry up and get in the store. Hey, John, no fooling around this week. We don't have time. We got to get to all this big news.
All right, man. I like fooling around.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
I guess you'll just take me to task okay. And we'll get to work.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You didn't ask me how I was. I was like, man, we're so busy. He doesn't even care how I'm doing this week. So,
did you have something ready for me? I'm sorry. Let me go out and I'll come back in.
Okay.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Man, I feel like the prize in the bottom of a box of Cracker Jacks.
If I wasn't looking at you, I would have thought you had that written down.
No, I just popped into my head. I figured since you put me on the spot, I better come up with something.
And that's what you came up with. You see, I think we can edit that. No.
Yeah, take that out. I mean, we lost 30 minutes last week, so we can lose 5 minutes this week. Yeah.
Exactly. That was good. So let's get to the big news of the week. Everybody's been waiting for us to talk about this.
I mean, we're just going to jump right in and start with it.
Yeah,
or are we
exactly.
End
I mean,
with
we
it?
Have to. We've been. I mean, everybody's dying to hear our take. You know,
everybody wants to know what we don't know is more than anybody else knows.
No. In-Hyuk Lee likes us. That's the big news.
Who?
In-Hyuk Lee.
Oh. Okay, I thought we were talking about something completely different.
Of course you did. I led you in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I was glad to see that photo from the, what was it, Fandemic?
Fan Expo,
yeah.
Boston Fan Expo.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Looked like you had a good time there.
Yeah, we did. Actually, we really did. We really did. Joe and I had a really good time walking around there. There were a lot of pretty cool artists, but not a lot that I could get to because they signed at different times, and we were only there for a certain amount of time. So we happened to be walking by, and he was just sitting down, and I was like, oh, and the line went around. We jumped in the line. It was pretty cool.
So my burning question is, have I been saying his name right all this time? Because
I
was just completely guessing. So
yeah, that's what everybody was saying. It was pretty cool because obviously I'm a year into this, as deep as I'm into this. And I remember saying to you last year, being at that exact event, and Joe and I are walking around, and we were hoping you'd be here this year. And I was saying, oh, we come through here with John and it'll be a blast, because you knew like every single artist. And this year, while I didn't know every single artist, Joe and I are walking through and I'm like, oh, that guy's, oh, and Joe was like,
he does those covers that John keeps talking about.
And it was like, so we were in line for In-Hyuk Lee and everybody's like, oh, two people in front of us, he bought, I think 30 of the variant covers for the expo. It's exclusive to the expo. That's what I had signed. And so he had 30 covers, but a bunch of them didn't know about, like, the Hawkman that were coming. So I'm sitting there. I'm passing around cards for Brightside, and I'm like, oh, you don't know about this one? You don't know about this one? They're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, no, didn't know about that. So it was pretty cool. It was, I mean, just to see what a difference a year makes just for me, myself.
Right.
But it was pretty cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I wanted to get Greg Capullo, but he wasn't signing until, I think it was 4:30.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, it was a good time. Real good time. Can't wait for next year. Hopefully you can get up here for next year's.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, let's see. Anything else big?
Well, I mean, there's lots of news this week. I've got a bunch of things.
Yeah, so do I. Let's hit on a bunch of them before we hit the big news.
I know what you want to talk about, but I figured we'd save that till the end. So first thing I saw early this week is looks like Ewan McGregor is coming back as Obi-Wan for
and that's the first thing I have on my list. Yeah.
Well, I started this on Monday, probably the same as you.
Yeah,
so Disney Plus looks like it's going to have an Obi-Wan series. Again, still at the rumor point, but it seems to be a lot of places were reporting this news this week.
Yeah, but
we do have D23 coming up Friday.
Yeah.
So I would expect.
Everybody that's reporting it, though, it's all rumor. There's nothing confirmed. The closest I've seen to confirmed is somebody said they're talking.
Right, but
like, you know
usually,
what I mean? It was a report that they're talking. So
usually when you see it by multiple sources, it seems to have a little bit more behind it. Now, this is nothing new. We've been hearing about Ewan McGregor coming back as Obi-Wan for years.
We talked about this a while ago, didn't we? As a rumor that we had said, oh, that would be cool.
Well, because at one point it was going to be one of these standalone movies.
Right.
But then, you know, obviously we saw what happened with Solo. And then all of a sudden the Yoda movie and the Obi-Wan movie and all that stuff sort of went away. So I would actually prefer to see this on Disney Plus anyways, because I think you could get a lot more
in-depth
character development, a lot more in-depth, with the character than you could in any two-hour movie. You're going to get a 7 or 8 episode season probably and be able to do some more. And there's lots of things I would like to see out of this series. So, like I said, D23 happens Friday. I would imagine if we don't hear a confirmation this weekend, that it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or at least
good
it's
point.
Not.
Yeah.
Right. At least if we don't hear something this weekend, it's not to the stages where it's going to be a final thing. So, because I would think that they're saving any of these big announcements for this weekend.
I heard that at D23 they're also supposed to be showing Mandalorian previews.
Yeah, the trailer breaks Friday.
Yep,
is what
I don't know
I
if
saw
we'll
reported.
Get it. I think from what I've read, I think you have to be there to see something, but
we'll
probably get
be
it
there.
Shortly thereafter.
Yeah, we'll probably get it Monday.
Yeah,
usually when these things break over the weekend, if somebody doesn't get it, bootlegged up online before then, usually on Monday we'll get it. Which makes sense because it's almost September, and we know that this is, at least the first episode is going to be available on launch day in November. So I would think it's about the time that we're going to start seeing a trailer for it anyway. So it definitely makes sense. I would also expect to see a little bit more of a full trailer for Rise of Skywalker as well.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if that's not part of D23 as well. So.
Yeah.
That's that.
The next one I have on my list, I bet you don't have on yours. Have you seen, and I just put this in because I wanted to talk about it last week, but you hadn't seen the Shazam special?
Still haven't.
Okay.
But you can still talk about it.
Okay. So I thought it was pretty cool. It was also mentioned on Garmin this week, but Shazam or Captain Marvel is where Elvis got his cape from. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Or you heard that?
I mean, I didn't know that, but I heard that on Garmin.
Yeah, they go into that in the Shazam special. It's pretty cool. It's like that's how far reach that like Captain Marvel, Shazam, or even just comic books in general went all the way to Elvis, and like he based his look on Captain Marvel, Shazam, and it's like the Elvis and his capes and his suits and everything like that. He wanted to be a superhero, and he lived it out on stage.
Yeah, I didn't have that as part of my news, but I guess what can go along those lines is they're developing an animated Elvis.
Are they
show?
I didn't know that.
That's what brought all that up in the first place on Garmin is they're developing an animated show about Elvis as like a private eye by day and a singer at night type of thing. Because again, he always wanted to be a spy or a superhero or something like that. So Yeah, that's what brought it up on Garmin this week, is they were talking about that, the cartoon that's in development. Oh. So that's pretty cool.
I must have been distracted when that part came.
It must have been. All right, so next bit of news over there on Sci-Fi. It looks like they canceled Krypton and the unproduced Lobo spinoff.
Yes.
That they had previously announced. So I don't know if you watched Krypton. I watched season one. I didn't watch any of season two.
It's on DC Universe. I plan on watching it, and I still plan on watching it. Just haven't gotten to it yet.
Right. I liked season one. I thought it was a little bit of a slog to get through at times, but you know, overall, I did enjoy it, and I had intended to watch season two. Now that it's canceled, I'm not sure that I'll put the time in. Well, you know, if I find myself with nothing else to watch, I may do it. But I've got a backlog of things already that I'm trying to get to. So,
well, I would put that thought on hold, because there are a lot of rumors, Netflix-esque rumors, swirling around that it is going to be reborn. They are shopping it. And then there's also, one, there's rumors that they're shopping it. And two, people are speculating that it'll end up on, you know, what, HBO Max or on DC
Universe. I
don't
think it had a big enough following, though. Like, it didn't have that much of a viewership on Sci-Fi as it is.
Well,
and one of the rumors, not rumors, I guess, but one of the reasons I heard for the cancellation was that the show was too expensive for Sci-Fi to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, maybe Netflix obviously has much deeper.
Well,
pockets
I said Netflix-esque,
but
it's not going to, right, Netflix. I was just saying Netflix-esque. I don't want to confuse anybody, right, thinking it's going there. I was saying that because of like how Marvel, all the Marvel shows
said,
are gone,
so could,
and everybody thinks they're going to end up on Disney Plus. And that's what a lot of people are speculating here, is that they're pulling it from Sci-Fi and like, okay, just let it die, and it'll be reborn elsewhere.
You know, well, we'll see. Like I said, I don't think it had that big of a following. I don't think there's enough of an outcry of people. Like when Lucifer was canceled, there were petitions all over the place.
Right.
I haven't seen one thing online this week about anybody trying to bring Krypton back. So, obviously, it could come back, but I don't think.
Well, I talked to Slade this morning at Friendly Neighborhood, and he was pretty upset about it, and he'd like to see it.
Yeah.
He knows the whole storyline that they're going to go into, and he was telling me, he's like, it's supposed to be really good, and he had this whole storyline that was going into Jor-El and blah, 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 all of this stuff, that's what they were planning on doing with Season 3, because I guess they left Season 2 in kind of a cliffhanger-type situation. So that's one of the things I have seen the speculation. So when you see speculation about like that, it is kind of like people hoping it does come back. So who knows?
Well, I'm not saying nobody hopes. Obviously, somebody was watching it.
Right.
I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to say that nobody watched it. But like I said, I don't know. We've established over the last year or so that I don't really know anything about anything. So, you know, it could be.
We document that every week, that we know nothing.
I know. So,
and now we're documenting it twice a week.
Yeah.
Do you have the He-Man cartoon?
I do.
Yep. Kevin Smith for Netflix.
Yes.
For Netflix. Which I heard two different reports. One, I heard it was going to be called Masters of the Universe. I heard another report that it wasn't going to be called Masters of the Universe.
I thought that it was. I thought the title was announced. Let me see if I can pull up the article. I thought, well, this doesn't say. Oh, yeah. Masters of the Universe Revelation. So I think that's the working title.
Okay. That's what I thought.
This is the poster that they put up at PowerCon, which is where the announcement happened, which is basically the Masters of the Universe con, and the Netflix guys were there, and they put up a poster. So it looks like Masters of the Universe Revelation is the title.
You've seen the Toys That Made Us episode on that, the whole cartoon was based to sell the toys. There was no real story. There was nothing really about it, and I'm actually kind of interested in a nostalgic kind of way to see this, to see what Kevin Smith does with it. Because he's taken a commercial and turning it, now he's going to turn it into an animated series.
I mean, it was a big commercial in the same sense that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle show and the Transformers show and Mask show, the G.I. Joe cartoon. I mean, they were all made to be commercials for those
toy lines.
The Turtles
were a book first.
I get
you know
that, but...
I mean, I know you
still,
know that. I'm just saying, that to me is a little bit different.
But for the most part, these shows were all to sell toys. And again, I'm not saying that Masters of the Universe wasn't, because I know that it was. But I did watch, you know, I watched Masters of the Universe, and it had story. Like, there was stuff there that, you know, that obviously got a rabid fan base.
Didn't they end every episode with like a little PSA?
It had
or a kind of
like
the
yeah,
end.
The more you know, like
yeah, something
the
like
more
that,
you know,
like,
type
kind
of thing.
Like the G.I. Joe type thing.
G.I. Joe and like the Shazam TV show.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him standing there with his like, what was it? Like, it wasn't called Thundercat or whatever it was, but
Cringer, Battle Cat.
Yeah, the Battle Cat. Which when you had the toy, you actually stuck him in his back.
So yeah, like I said, I am looking forward to that because I was a big Masters of the Universe fan. You know, when it came out, we were a little bit older, but I still did watch that.
It was on when we got home from school.
Yeah,
look at us now; we're still talking about this stuff. So, I think we were 13.
I'm still watching cartoons.
yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, so I'm really interested again to see where it goes, and it's supposed to pick up right where the series left off. So
yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, too. I had my brother's 4 years younger than me, so I had, like, all of these G.I. Joe, Masters of the Universe, any of the, manga, any of that stuff that was on after school. It's like me and my brother used to watch, and loved that stuff. Snyder Cut? Did you hear the Jason Momoa Snyder Cut exists?
I've heard that. I mean, you guys just need to let that thing die.
No, I know. I think you say that, but Jason Momoa puts it out. That's why I'm talking about it.
I know. No,
I'm not
saying
I want to see. I mean, I'd love to see the Snyder Cut.
Well, I would love to see it, too, but.
But I just think it's
like,
funny.
Can we move on about that already?
Right. But then Jason Momoa says it's sick. It's like,
well, yeah,
you know,
supposedly Kevin Smith watched it, too.
I'm wondering if he ever saw it.
Well, yeah, who
you
knows?
Know what I mean? That's what I thought was funny about it. I'm like, he could just put that out just to screw with everybody.
Oh, of course he could.
You know.
But I would imagine they've seen it. They filmed it. So, you know, I mean, they've got to know the scenes that they worked on that were cut from the original movie. So they have to have some kind of working knowledge of what it was going to be. You know, obviously things change and, you know, a lot of actors only know the parts that they're involved in.
Right.
You know, look at Gwyneth Paltrow. She doesn't even know she was in the Avengers movie. But
can you...
You know, so they don't all know everything, but I'm sure this thing exists to some degree. Whether it's a finished, polished product, I doubt that. Because I can't see anybody putting the resources into polishing something that was not going to make it to the film.
Right.
But
can you?
But yeah, I'm sure there's something.
Can you imagine though being like Jason Momoa and Zack Snyder and just sitting around, you're having a few beers and you're like, watch this, the Snyder Cut exists, you know? And it's just they're just goofing around and it sends the world crazy. And it's like, but it's fun. You're not hurting anybody. It's like all of us are like, what, huh? And it's just fun stuff. And having that kind of, I'm using quotation fingers like. You know, having that kind of power.
It's a podcast.
Yeah, I know. But you know what I mean? But it's just fun. And that's why I put it in my notes. I thought it was pretty funny because I'm like, you know, that is something fun. And that's what I like about Jason Momoa. And I retweeted that, him giving him a camera, Zack Snyder the camera. He's just such a cool guy. And it's like somebody like you just wanted to be friends with. Like you'd want to meet and be like, he's just like, he's just looks like just a fun guy.
Yeah, he does. Somebody you want to hang out with and drink some beers for sure.
I don't know if you'd have to have too many with him.
Probably not. All right, so next thing, it looks like when we get our Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover on the CW next year, that when the dust is all settled, we are going to have one unified universe where Supergirl and Flash and Black Lightning and everybody exist in the same universe, so there won't be the need for all these convoluted, you know, traveling between universes to for everybody to meet.
Right.
So I think that's cool. You know, obviously it's about time they do that. What I would, you know, obviously I'm sure they'll address to some degree, but, you know, there's obviously people that exist in both multiverses, and what
there's
happens to
deaths.
Them when they all get, yeah.
Yeah.
When they all get merged into one, you know, would be an interesting thing for them to, you know, obviously to explore. But, yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll make it a lot easier for, not that they really had a hard time getting these crossovers to happen anyways, but now it seems more like they could run into each other at the grocery store or something.
Well, you know what's funny is just not to get deep into these shows, but how Cisco gave up his powers.
Yeah.
Because, so now you're going to need, you need, one of the reasons they could get rid of his powers is he was the way they, he was who they used to get back and forth from the different universes.
Right.
And now that he doesn't have those powers, we need to, you know, simplify those things. And so they're going to, you know, one
and
universe.
This is obviously the easiest way to do that.
Right.
All right, so announcement this week in regards to Disney Plus. They've put out all the platforms that they're going to be available on launch day. And it looks like today, or it looks like as it stands now, they'll be on every platform except Amazon Fire.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I would imagine that to...
They must have heard our rant.
Yeah. I would imagine that to be resolved by the time the show, by the time the service launches. But most importantly for you and I, that it will be on iOS and Apple TV will be supported.
Yeah.
Which I was actually really happy to see because, like, Apple and the mouse don't play well together as it is. You know, there's already, you know, tensions with iTunes and the Marvel and the Disney movies and things like that. So I would have thought if anything would be the holdout, it would be Apple TV. You know, I knew they'd get there eventually, but
yeah.
I was surprised that, you know, that was already a done deal because, like I said, they traditionally don't play well together. So,
well, I mean, glad we don't even have to deal with it then.
No, right, exactly. And again, just once again, miles ahead of where DC Universe was when they launched. Obviously, they were missing more platforms than they were on. And at least in this case, it looks like Disney Plus will be everywhere. Hell, DC Universe, we still don't have on PS4. So,
yeah. Yeah, but
again.
Yeah. How many people just run a single PS4, though, with nothing
else? I know a lot of people that use a PS4. You know, they use the Sony View TV.
Yeah.
The PS4 is their media server. So, you know, I don't know what percentage of the population, but there are a bunch of people out there that
I'm sure that's
there.
How many people after today are using a Sony PS4?
Oh, I don't know. What's significant about today?
I think from the sounds of Twitter, it looks like a lot of people took baseball bats to their Sony products.
Oh, why is that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You're killing me, kid.
I guess. Well, I didn't see that.
But, no.
All right. And hey, thank God, DJ.
Okay.
There's a travesty that's been corrected.
Uh-oh.
A many-year travesty. It looks like Marcel the Monkey from Friends finally has another job because he has now been cast in the Why the Last Man series.
Oh, jeez. I didn't know. How long do monkeys live?
I don't know, but apparently they live long enough to be on Friends and
early,
you know,
Friends,
be in the,
too. That's got to
be in the twilight of their career for 20
years. Yeah.
Yep. And now he's working again. He's a geriatric monkey, but he is going to be on Why the Last Man. So
I don't know. How long's a monkey live? That's pretty good.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
We finally righted a wrong.
Yeah. Like, poor guy's been out of work.
Marcel arguably had more talent than Ross did. And,
yeah.
You know.
Well, actually, I was just going to ask, does that mean Ross is coming too?
He's a handler. Yeah, he'll be on set. So.
Wow, I didn't get that in my note. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm not looking
deep enough
into the news.
I go into the deep bowels of the internet to scrape the news for our
listeners. Yeah, exactly.
So, I've got one more thing, and then we can launch into the
okay,
big
let's
thing.
See if it matches mine.
Looks like DC Animation is working on a Death in the Family animated movie.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So, yeah, I just saw that at dinner today, actually, so I just saved it about a half hour ago, so it might be breaking.
Oh, cool.
We might be breaking it here first. I don't know. But, yeah, that's awesome. I actually finally saw Hush this week, and
I was gonna see.
You know, once again, I just can't say enough good things about the DC animated movies, especially these
ones
that are adapted.
Well, let's save that,
because
I know we're doing Star Wars next Monday, but you want to do Hush the following week?
Well, we can do Hush. Okay. I mean, I don't want to, I'm not going to launch into a big diatribe about it, but I'm just wanted to say that, you know, they just seem to keep knocking it out of the park with these animated movies.
Yeah.
And Death in the Family is, you know, a controversial storyline.
Yeah.
And, looks to be, I mean, is fairly violent compared to some of the other ones that we've gotten, but I don't know. Like I said, I if they do it the same way they've done the last several movies, I can't wait to see this. You know,
yeah,
either.
Yeah, it's anytime their DC does any of their animated stuff, I'm always looking forward to it, and obviously Hush is no exception. This will be great. Some are better than others,
of course. But that's the same.
And
I mean,
we'll get into more of that when we talk about Hush. But it's just they're so good. They're so good. It's always something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I had a couple of last things. Stephen Amell gonna be doing heels.
Yeah,
on Stars. Did you see that? Wrestling. We don't really talk a lot of wrestling here, but it is Stephen Amell, so I may check that out, see how it starts out when it does come out, which I don't think it'll
did you see,
should be next fall, maybe.
He posted that on Instagram. Did you see Grant Gustin's response to that news?
No.
He said, take a nap, dude. So.
Oh, yeah, because he's just right back to work.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, he's going right from one show to the other.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
And have you caught any of Pennyworth? We haven't talked about that yet.
No, I haven't, because I don't want to pay for Epics, and so I'm not going to.
Oh, I've been watching it on the Disney. I don't know why I have it.
I thought you only got the first episode and then you had to pay for the Epics.
I'm three episodes in. And I haven't paid, so try it.
Well, I guess, yeah, let me know then, because I was under the impression that it was part of a pay service.
Well, check out the first one. It's pretty good. It's very James Bondish. In tone, in music. I mean, you'll see what I mean.
It's another one of those shows that I feel like is just pushing it a little bit too far along the lines of what I need to see, but...
So here's the thing. If it wasn't called Pennyworth, I wouldn't be watching it.
Yeah.
But that being said, it doesn't matter that it's called Pennyworth, because it's just that good of a show.
Yeah.
It's an adult show. There's violence, language, nudity. It's just
a fun show.
It's
basically James Bond, really.
Yeah, it's James Bond with a hint of Batman in the background, just because the entire time you're thinking, whoa, this is Alfred. You know, so, but even if you're not a Batman fan, if you never knew what Batman was, it's that kind of a show. It's that good of a show. Kind of a period piece, but not. There's some stuff that you don't know what period it's from, but it seems to be from like the 60s.
Right.
But it's a good show. It's a really good show. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'll check it out then. Like I said, I was maybe under the mistaken impression that you had to have a subscription service to watch it. Because, on my Apple TV, you get that menu where it says, watch the first episode free.
Yeah.
And then it's usually, that means you have to pay for the rest.
Right.
And Pennyworth shows up on that bar for me. So that's really as far as I took it.
I didn't
even click on it to see what happened. Because I don't want to watch the first episode of anything and then not be able to watch the rest of it.
All right, is that it? We done for this week?
I think so.
So
I mean, I don't know what else we could possibly talk about.
I know, huh? All right, let's get into it. whose side are you on?
I'm on our side. I'm on my side. Yeah, I'm on my side. Like, I'm on the consumer side where I want to see Spider-Man continue to be part of the MCU. And I feel like each side should do whatever it takes to ensure that that could happen. Now, again, this news broke yesterday, and the internet lost its goddamn minds about basically unsubstantiated stories because...
That doesn't sound like the internet.
Yeah, right? because, you know, we really don't know anything, but I will tell you that, like, I cannot click through any of my social media feeds without that being every other story. Like, it's literally everywhere. Anybody that's listening has read every update that we've read. We all know the same stuff. You know, Sony is apparently, you know, throwing it, kind of putting it on Marvel and saying it's their fault. Like, hey, we want Kevin Feige to stay involved, and Marvel doesn't want him to be involved. But, you know, what nobody's talking about is the money aspect of it.
Right.
And what's really driving all this. So, you know, again, people are throwing out numbers where, you know, Disney gets 5% and now they want 50% and blah, blah, blah. And we don't really know. Ultimately, I think this is a negotiation tactic. And I think when we get to the end of the day, you know, the next Spider-Man movie will come along with either Kevin Feige or the MCU being attached because, I mean, it's just a ticket to print money at this point, and I don't know why anybody would not want that to continue.
Yeah.
But.
Did you see the quote that Sony or the statement they put out today on Twitter? And
yeah.
I wanted to say, I forgot to save it, and it said something, but there was one line in there to me that was like, it kind of really set the tone, and it was one of those subtle things that you read into, and maybe I'm wrong, but it was like, but I think the line was something like, but we own the franchise, you know? Right. So they pointed out, it's like, we respect Kevin Feige, we would blah, 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 and this, we hope to get him back, but we own the franchise, and this is the direction we would, and just that, but we own the franchise, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
It's like, and they do. And that's the crux of it. It's like, that's their one thing. Why would they give that up? And it's like,
well, but I don't think anybody's expecting him to give it up.
Right.
Like, nobody's asking for that. Marvel's not asking for them to give it up.
I don't know what to believe because I've heard so many different versions on what this entire argument is about.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. Nobody can argue that the last two Spider-Man movies have been the most successful in the franchise.
Right.
You know, I mean, nobody will dispute that fact. But prior to these movies, Sony made 5 other Spider-Man movies, and not a one of them lost money. It's
exactly.
Not like they were, right, it's not like they were, like, swinging and missing, and all of a sudden Disney came and saved them.
Right.
You know, now Disney came along, and they improved upon it for sure.
But,
you know, Kevin Feige's involvement definitely made these things better, but
did it
it's
make,
not like they were complete failures to
right,
begin with.
But it did
you know?
It really make the movies better, or is it just because they're in the MCU that they're better? Because, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that they're not better movies, but what I'm saying is they're better because they're in the MCU, meaning like any of those other movies, it's like you said, they all made money. And
right.
Venom made over $800 million, and it's not right. in the MCU. What happens when now they get the same character that was in the MCU back into that Venom universe?
Right.
And it's not – you're not going to make – I mean, many people have pointed it out on Twitter, myself included, that, oh, they want – Disney wants 50%. Well, if
right.
you make $1 billion and they get 50% of the billion, I know that's not profits, but that's $500 million. But if we go off on our own and make $800 million, which makes more business sense?
Right.
You
no,
know
I
what
get
I mean?
All that.
So it's like,
yeah.
I see both sides of it. I don't think either side is wrong. I understand Disney's like, look, we can make more money doing this. And Sony's like, well, I know. See, every. Sony's like, but we can make money doing it this way.
Right.
And it's like, everybody thinks Sony needs Marvel, but Marvel Marvel doesn't need Sony. Well, in the case of Spider-Man, Marvel needs Sony more than Sony needs Marvel. Because without Spider-Man, Marvel has no Spider-Man.
Exactly, but we also don't know what part Spider-Man plays in any of their future plans anyways.
Well, we know that he has Zero in there in Phase 4, pretty much, because we've seen Phase 4. So that's why this entire argument is probably all moot. Because by the 4 or 5 years from now, when Phase 4 is over, or maybe 3 years from now, we get Spider-Man back. And everybody's laughing. That's why I was laughing yesterday, and I'm like, this isn't a big deal. Who cares?
Well, the other part of it, too, though, is that what I started reading today is Tom Holland is not contractually obligated to do any more movies either. Like, he's done. He has the option to sign on.
I've heard that, and I don't believe that. I've heard...
Well, I mean, think about it. He's done 5 appearances.
I heard...
Right?
But I've also heard that he was... Before today, he was signed on for 3 more movies.
But that... But he... At his option, not by contract.
Yeah, but do you... I mean, all of these movies so far have been Sony movies. With Marvel.
But,
why would he be
Tom
mad
Holland
now?
But Tom Holland likes being part of the MCU.
But none of these next two, at least these next two movies, were never going to be part of the MCU. They were going to be Spider-Man movies. Because we've seen the MCU so far. We've seen the MCU plotted out so far.
Right, but that doesn't mean they weren't going to be. I don't remember if you go back and look at Phase 3. I don't know if the Spider-Man movie showed up in Marvel's Phase 3 either. Because when we talked about Phase 4 being laid out, we said, oh, there's no Spider-Man, but that's because it's Sony's. But that doesn't mean that even if they were making it 2 years from now, that Kevin Feige wouldn't have been a producer and maybe they wouldn't have thrown, who knows, obviously it wasn't going to be Iron Man, but you know somebody, there still could have been references to the MCU and things like that that existed that you know now probably won't. And honestly, I think the biggest loss will be the fact that we can't have a Spider-Man Deadpool movie if Spider-Man is not part of the MCU. So we'll see. Well, like I said, we don't know anything at this point. Nothing's confirmed or denied.
So what happens with, and I pointed this out today, with the Sony and Marvel Morbius movie and the untitled Sony Marvel sequel in 2020 that's already slated. These are movies that are slated for 2020. So they're in production.
But I don't remember ever hearing the Morbius movie being associated with Marvel.
Sony has it.
I thought it was already
Sony has it listed as one of their movies for this year.
Right, but a Sony movie, not a Marvel movie.
It says Sony stated it's a Sony/Marvel movie. It's on, I mean, that's where you find it under their list of movies, like when we listed out all Disney movies that are coming.
No.
So Sony's movies, it's like they have all their movies coming out over the next 5 years, and for next year,
I would imagine the same thing.
Marvel.
Well, I would imagine them severing their ties with Marvel severs the ties for all of those projects. Again, they don't need Marvel for that. Morbius is a Spider-Man character. They own it. So they don't need Marvel for that. So I think the exact same thing happens. It's just nobody's losing their minds about it because nobody cares about Morbius. But it'll just go on without Kevin Feige's involvement, I would imagine. You know, same thing with the Black Cat and all these other movies that they have slated.
Right.
And I guess we're going to be Sony/Marvel. And I guess now we'll just be Sony.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it happens for one property, it has to happen for all of them.
Right.
You know?
Well, so. At the end of the day, like we said, Phase 4 had really no Spider-Man involved in it.
Right.
At the end of the day, this is all going to be meaningless. It's I really don't think we're gonna miss a beat.
One of the rumors I read today, too, was that I guess there's some kind of talks about Apple buying Sony. And if that happened, then the rights revert back to Marvel for Spider-Man automatically. So, again, that's just one story that I read today.
Why? Is that part of the agreement?
I guess it would be
anybody else?
I guess so. I don't know.
Right.
again, I read a million stories today.
Right.
And who knows what's true and what isn't true, but that is one of the stories I read,
right,
was that, you know, Sony was being shopped around to be bought out by another company, and I guess that would revert the rights of Spider-Man back to Marvel. So, you know, maybe Marvel's just saying, well, hey, we don't have to do anything. We'll just sit back and let them sell themselves, and we'll get Spider-Man back on our own. Who knows? You know.
Yeah.
And that might not be true either. You know, it's just a story I read on the internet, so.
Well, then it has to be true.
Take it with a grain of salt. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, we just got a Spider-Man movie. We're not getting another Spider-Man movie for at least 2 years.
Right.
At least. And by then, who knows what's going to have played out. And who knows what's going to play out in the next few days.
Right.
I mean, this is all...
Well, the one that's been, you know, obviously silent is Marvel and Disney. Like, they haven't said anything. So...
Well, that's a lot of people are saying that they're the ones that started it. They're the ones that leaked the information and started this so that put the pressure on Sony, because the negotiations supposedly, I don't understand. I heard a report today that yesterday was the deadline for the deal to be done. Why? Why was the, you know what I mean? It's like...
Well, because everything has expiration dates. I mean,
yeah,
I guess whatever deal they had in place was...
When CBS is arguing with DirecTV, you set an expiration date so that they have a drop-dead date so you can cut off their service, and you say, okay, let's extend the service. There's no impending Spider-Man movie. Who cares about a drop-dead date? Like, you know what I mean?
If they're trying to... Well, yes and no, because... I mean, if they're going to make another Spider-Man movie in the next couple of years, that doesn't happen in 5 minutes. They have to start working on it. Like, things have to start getting in production. They need to have writers. They need to have directors. They need to have executive producers on board or whatever they're going to have. They don't just say, okay, tomorrow we're going to have a movie.
Like, yeah.
It takes 3 years to put a movie together. So, who knows? We don't know what their internal timeline is for movies 3 and 4. I can't imagine they'd want to go more than 2 years without one, because it made them $1 billion. So,
yeah,
I think there are dates in play that, you know, deadlines,
right,
that they're trying to hit.
Right. But I don't see it as such a hard drop dead date. Like, oh, we didn't meet it. It's over. Done. It's like they can extend that. What I'm saying is it's two parties negotiating. There's nothing on the line for tomorrow, the next day, that you can't just say, okay, we'll talk tomorrow.
Well, in every story that I read said that negotiations were still ongoing.
Right.
I mean, again, this was just their first – this is when the deal expired. But I thought also – I don't understand, because I remember reading a couple of weeks ago when Far From Home was about to hit the billion-dollar mark, that if they hit $1 billion at the box office, then Marvel automatically got to keep their involvement in the franchise. So I don't know what that means, because obviously that was not true.
And here's the thing, and that's why I said, I'm like, about the drop dead date, that was one report. I don't know how true a drop dead date is. That's my point in it. I don't believe a lot of it, because what do you drop dead for? But to get onto the other thing, it's that you just said, it's Marvel, there's a report that they do have a deal in place, but Marvel is trying to up their side. They're like, they're not getting enough, and they want more. And then Sony's saying, we don't want to give you more. I'm not saying these are true. These are all the different reports. I've heard other reports,
right,
that this is all an argument over production credit.
Right.
You know, it's not even about money. And there's so many different rumors and so many different stories. And then you have all of these people getting upset over, it seems like the majority of the people are upset with Sony. The people that are, the other people like myself seem to be just like, nobody's really taken Marvel's side. I mean, I'm sorry. Nobody's really mad at Marvel. You're either mad at Sony or you just don't care either way.
Well, they're not mad at Marvel because they want him to be in Marvel. And they're not really looking at the fact that this could all be Disney's doing.
Right.
You know.
Well, it is all of it. I mean, if you think about it, and I said this earlier today, it is all Disney's doing, or Marvel's doing. why did they sell it to Sony in the first place years ago? It's like,
oh, well,
you know what I mean?
Because they were going bankrupt. I mean,
well, Marvel, yeah, was.
And these things weren't, like, there wasn't a such thing as a superhero movie blockbuster back then.
Well, Marvel, you know, didn't, so. Marvel Studios didn't exist.
Right,
when
exactly.
They sold
so,
it. And now,
I mean,
Marvel Studios,
yeah, we can go back in time and
created the,
do lots of things.
Yeah,
but.
They create the MCU and turn their entire business around. And now they want it back. Now they think they're the big boy on the block, but Sony's been around a long time. They're not little. Yeah. And they're not, you know, yeah. It's like I mean, said, they're both at fault, but they're both in the right.
Disney will just buy him, and then that'll be the end of
well,
it.
Well, that's
so.
My son sent me that today. He sent me a meme of it. Was like it was actually Rocket, and he's like and it said Disney's like saying this, like how much for Spider-Man? Not for sale. All right, how much for the company?
Right.
Which is pretty much probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. If they want him back, they'll get him back sooner or later.
Yeah,
but.
All right. Anything else on that?
No. I don't think so.
I'm sure we could beat it to death some more.
Well, yeah, but again, we don't know anything more than anybody else, so we're just speculating our own opinions on it.
And it has at least 2 years to play out.
Yeah.
And I really don't think you hear.
Well, that's why I said, that's what I said at the beginning. I think that by the time we see Spider-Man again on screen, Kevin Feige and Marvel will be attached to it.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, I think that will play out. You know, I don't know what that means for the Morbius movie that's more imminent, though, because, like, I don't think those negotiations are going to be in place when that movie comes out.
No.
But I don't think anybody really cares that much about, you know, about that. I mean, obviously, you know, Morbius has his fans, but nobody's losing their crap over.
I want to see the movie.
Well, I want to see the movie, too, but what I'm saying is nobody's losing their crap if Marvel's not involved in it, because nobody cared that Marvel wasn't involved in Venom. You know, people still came out to see it, so.
Right.
I don't think it'll really affect the Morbius or anything else. And honestly, like you said, it doesn't really affect Spider-Man either, other than the fact that we want to see him playing in, you know, playing with the other heroes.
Right.
But those guys don't exist anymore, most of them.
Right.
So. We don't know that we were going to ever see Spider-Man again in the MCU. We're speculating on something that might not have been in the plans anyways. Because I guarantee you, if Marvel wanted Spider-Man to appear in Phase 4 movies, we wouldn't be hearing this story. Because
that's what I
Marvel's
mean.
Marvel doesn't care about the 5% that they're only making off of Homecoming. They care about the $3 billion they made off of Endgame with Spider-Man in it, that they didn't have to give any of that money away.
Right.
So, Marvel's making their money off Spider-Man in their own movies. They don't care so much about
right. But that
the
being,
Sony
that
movies.
Being said, take Spider-Man out of the MCU. Like, he never existed, never showed up in Civil War and any movie after that. Does it
fine.
Change
anything?
Still be,
no. Probably not.
No.
I mean, they're still going to be successful movies.
Right.
But
it was a great treat having them in there, but right. Those are going to be great movies. They're going to be successful movies without them.
And they would, but you lose a lot. Like, who's
not if you never you knew know, you had it. If it was never well, there, yes, I agree. If knowing what we know now, yes.
Yeah.
But if it was never there, we'd be like, the worst yeah. thing we'd be saying is, wouldn't it be cool to have Spider-Man there?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of characters that aren't there that were there in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's we're not all sitting around mourning them. So, you know, it's revisionist history to say it wouldn't be as good without him. Because if he wasn't there, we wouldn't know. So right. Going forward, it's, you know, I think movies coming out, we're going to enjoy those. And I'm laughing at the people on Twitter that are going to boycott Sony for the rest of their life because of this. And it's like, really? Because
well, and then, like you said, this may not be Sony's fault.
That's what I'm saying. It's
you know?
Like, it's like, so.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into some books.
All right.
What am I spending my money on this week?
All right. So, the most requested book of the day is Batman issue number 77. So, I don't want to give out the major spoiler.
I saw it in your notes. I'm like, please don't.
But you know what? It's all over the internet anyways. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm not breaking anything that anybody probably doesn't already know.
But I saw a few people that did put it, and I thought that was a pretty crappy thing to do, especially the day it comes out. Some people haven't even gotten home to read their books yet, and you're posting this stuff.
It looks, and I put looks in air quotes, like a major member of the Bat family dies in this issue. And a lot of people, you know, the news broke yesterday. Well, actually, I think Monday, the news started to break on this. And yeah, this was something that was kept under wraps from DC. So once again, retailers were not made aware that this was an important issue and that we may want to order extra copies of it. I mean, Batman is already a heavily ordered title anyways.
Yeah.
But I still would have ordered a lot more copies than what I had, because again, this is a book that sold out very early in the day. Had lots of calls looking for it. The main cover selling for, well, when I looked at this morning, it was $12 to $15. By the end of the day, it was already selling for $30. And then the variant cover was at $15 to $20 this morning. It's probably hitting $30 to $35 now.
I saw on the internet today that one they were selling before the stores opened this morning for $30 online. Yeah.
So my advice on this book is sell it now, because I don't believe this for a minute. I don't think that this is – I think this is a non-event, and just my personal opinion based on the entire Tom King run from issue 1 to issue 77 I don't believe this. So I would think if you're a flipper, get your money now, because in a week this thing's – or in a couple of weeks, this thing's probably going to be down to the normal $7, $8 range and maybe less. It was a great story. You know, obviously, if you read it, you know, it was a little bit shocking. But like I said, based on all the red herrings that we've gotten all the way up until now – I just don't buy it.
Well, it's not that I don't buy it. If you're reading the run, you'll understand. This isn't a spoiler or anything like that. But ever since the Nightmare series, it's hard to tell what's going on anyways.
Honestly, I don't even know if any of this is reality.
Exactly.
Because if you look at the context of what's going on in the story overall, I mean, you got Gotham being, criminals are the mayor, the police force. Like, we don't know what's going on anyway.
Exactly.
So you can't take anything at face value on this. And I don't, like I said, I personally, I don't believe it. I think
what do we have, 8 more books? He's going to 85?
He goes to 85 or 86. I'm not 100% sure, but 8 or 9 more books and he's done with this run and then moving on to his miniseries. I did really like... I'm going to spoil this. I don't really care. I did like the fact that we finally got – well, actually, if you read 76, you already saw this. But the fact that we got Bruce and Selina back together again, you know, made me happy.
Yeah.
Because we've been wanting to see it for 27 issues or 26 issues since issue 50 hit the stands. So that part of it I do like. But like I said, yeah, reading this story, we don't really know what's going on. And what's real and what isn't, how much of this could be, scarecrow-induced, you know, nightmares or
anything.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Again, without spoiling anything, we don't even know if the character that died is from our our reality.
Right.
You know,
it
could be in Thomas Wayne's reality, you know.
Yep.
So who knows?
Who knows? And it's... It, I mean, that doesn't take away from it's a great story.
It is.
I know you and I have had this conversation off air. I'm really enjoying the Tom King run.
Yeah, I'm not so much.
I know
right
you're
now,
not. But
this was a good issue, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it's and you know really why? Because I'm a sucker and it sucked me back in with Bruce and Selina.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Right.
You know, but, because that's what we want. That's what we've wanted. Ever since issue 50, we've wanted to see these people get face to face again,
right?
And you know, see what that was going to look like. So,
but from what I'm hearing, that it's what you and I like about it, and the whole Selina storyline. That's one of the reasons they're ending at 85,
right?
you know, they want to go. The popularity of Selena isn't as great, so though that storyline, the love story, so they want to go more to a more superhero-ish type story, and they're giving him his run with Selena. So I kind of when we heard that he's going to get that, you figured she would be showing back up, and she showed up in 76.
Right, you knew that they'd be back together eventually. I mean, you knew in issue 50 before you even heard about the mini, you know, the spinoff, that sooner or later, before his run was over,
yeah,
they were going to see each other again, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they get back together again, like, who knows how that's going to play out, but, you know, you just kind of wanted to see them face to face again after 27 issues.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I can't wait.
Because,
to...
you know, obviously, yeah, you know, what happened in issue 50 has had ramifications on him ever since. Like, everything that's happened since then,
right,
you know,
yeah,
has played out because of that. And then if you read her book, like, I read Catwoman too, and, you know, it comes up through that storyline also.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. You know, not to as big a degree, but it does come up. So
that was one of my favorite in the Nightmare series is when what was it? It was like the bachelor party and the bachelorette party one.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was pretty funny. It had some good humor to it, and it ended on a crazy note like they all did. But I thought that, and obviously they didn't come face to face in that one, but right, they were both in that book.
They were
book.
Both there. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that was a long way around talking about a speculator.
Well,
book,
I wanted to talk about Batman 77 anyway, so it was either now, yeah, or when we got to,
right,
books
I figured
this
we'd
week.
Get to it later, yeah, anyway, but so might as well do it now.
It's going to be a long night if we talk that much about every single book.
Yeah, I don't think we will. The next one is Pretty Violent, issue number one. There's a Ryan Ottley variant cover. So the regular cover is, like I said, just selling for around cover price. But the Ryan Ottley variant is selling pretty steadily online, about $15 to $16 for that. So, you know, that's what, four times cover price. So, that's the one to pick up if you can. Now, it wasn't a ratio variant. Stores could order as many as they wanted. But being a variant, you know, most stores order heavy on the main cover and not, you know, they don't go as deep on the variant covers. So, okay. Next one is Marvel Comics Presents, issue number 8. Speculators still seem to be on this book. I'm not quite sure why. You know, issues 6 and 7 were the big ones, but people are still grabbing this one for the story, I guess. It's selling for like $6 to $7, so not crazy over cover price, but it is one that, you know, this being, a lower order book, it might be a little bit harder to pick up in some stores. So, Powers of X number 3. So, again, we've talked about House of X and Powers of X ad nauseum for the last few weeks. But again, just another product of having to FOC the third issue of a book before the first issue hits the stands. There's just not enough of them out there.
Right.
You know,
And
as many as we tried to order up on these things, it's still just not enough. Every cover is selling for $10 to $25 online. Doesn't matter what variant it is, what it looks like. I still have a few of these right now in the store. But like as of today, I do not have one single copy of House of X or Powers of 10, 1 and 2 in my store.
Right.
At all. I have sold every single copy. And again, this is another one where now I was hurt a little bit this week because a chunk of my order for the main cover was damaged. So I thought I was going to have some extras for the shelf, I ended up not because they were damaged. I did have several of the variant covers on the shelf though. But again, by this weekend, this will be gone and yep, I won't have any.
But Hickman warned everybody of that at the beginning. He said,
he did.
He's like, this
yeah,
is going to be tough to get.
By the time
bear
we catch up
it,
to
it's
going to
be multiple pressings. So
yeah, it's going to be issue 4 or 5 before we really get caught up fully to this. I think issue 4 is the first one we ordered with at least number 1 sales data available. So, like I said, be patient. There are other print, but even that, my second printings of the early issues have sold out too. So I think they're on third printings for a couple of them already. And they're still hard to get. People are coming on board every day with this. And, you know, the problem you face now is even when number four hits the shelf and we have a whole bunch of copies on the shelf, getting the prior issues for people to get caught up
right.
on is still going to be a problem. So I'm sure we'll talk about Powers number
yep.
three a little bit later on. But, I mean, this is just selling. Like, this is a sales juggernaut right now.
Like hotcakes.
Yeah. I don't think I could have ordered a number too high. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I could. There's numbers I can think of that might be too high. but a number that I would reasonably have thought to order, I don't think anything would have been too high.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have got stuck with anything. And, you know, again, there's lots of coulda, woulda, shouldas with this. You know, the ordering schedule was very difficult. And not really being able to have read one of them before,
yeah.
before they came out. Like, if I had been able to read House of X number one before it came out, like a select number of stores did, I would have ordered twice as many copies as I ordered.
Right.
Because I would have known. But, you know, again, when this thing started, we just had kind of like
you got
their
10
word.
Pages.
Right. But that was nothing.
Right.
When you look at the first 10 pages of House, what was that?
It's a 60-page book, and you
right.
got 10.
Right, it was nothing. but all we had to go on was their word that it was going to be good. And quite frankly, we've had that word a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like crying wolf. So, anyway. I digress. next, from Source Point Press, we have Dead End Kids number 2, selling for a ridiculous $30. That's all I have to say about that. And from Black Box Comics, Psycho List number 1, selling for an equally ridiculous $20 to $25. I did have calls for Psycho List today. I didn't have anybody looking for Dead End Kids. I didn't order either one of these books, and again, I think that's why they're going for what they're going for, because a lot of stores probably didn't order any of these. So, that's it for Speculator Corner.
All right, let's get into our back issue bonus books.
All right, so the first book on our back issue bonus is Empty Man issue number 1. This was Boom Studios. So Disney is moving forward with a movie adaptation of Empty Man. This surprises me a little, because I did a recommended reading on Empty Man when it came out a few months ago, and this doesn't seem like it would be in Disney's wheelhouse, but, you know, it's a horror title, and I'm really surprised that Disney is on this, but that being said, they did announce today that they
maybe
picked
for
it up
Hulu?
And they're moving forward. Maybe, although it is a movie, not a TV show, so... I mean, again, could be made for Hulu movie, I guess. But in any case, I liked the book, even though I only ever read issue 1. I did like it. Right now, it's sitting at a pretty modest $12 for the first issue. I would pick it up while you can, because that's a low price for a book that's, you know, now been optioned for TV. I only saw this news today, so it may be going even higher in the next couple of days. Next is Mech Cadet U, issue number 1. This is in development now at Netflix. First issue of this is also sitting right around $12. So again, a pretty reasonable price on that for a number 1.
Who's
I didn't
that
read
from?
This book. It's going to be on Netflix.
No, who's it
I
from?
Can't, I'm lying. I didn't write it down. I wanted to say Boom, but I don't think that's right. So we'll have to do some research before we put the notes out. But I didn't read this book, so I don't really even know what it's about. I would imagine they're students learning how to drive mechs just based on the title. But I didn't read it, so I don't really know. But that would be an interesting show to watch on Netflix, I think.
Hang on a second. I'm pulling it up.
All right. Well, while you do that, I'm going to move into The Absolute Carnage issue number one back cover lottery. So I don't know if you heard about this or not, but Marvel secretly inserted 20 copies of Absolute Carnage out into the world with sketch, hand-drawn sketch covers by Mark Bagley on the back cover. So far, only 6 of the 20 have been found. So there's still 14 of them out there somewhere in the world. I would get looking. I've checked every copy in my store, so don't bother with me. But I wonder how many people have bought this book already and it's just sitting in a bag on their counter and they probably haven't even looked at it. I would venture to guess that these books have all been purchased somewhere and they just haven't been discovered yet. Or maybe they haven't. People just haven't said anything. But like I said, 6 out of 20 have been found. As of today, there's only one listing on eBay for this. It's listed at $4,000. There's no historical sales data, so we have no idea what this thing would sell for. But it would fetch a hefty price because, again, only 20 in the world. So,
all right. I'll keep my eye out for it.
Yeah, keep your eyes out.
Mech Cadet U is Boom Studios.
It is Boom. Okay. Yep. I thought it was, but I wasn't positive.
Yep.
And then last but not least, we have DC Comics Presents issue number 47. This is the first appearance of the Masters of the Universe in the DC Universe. So, again, we already talked about it earlier, but Kevin Smith announced his project on Netflix that has sparked interest in this comic. I looked at sales from just over a week ago before the announcement. This book was selling for around $50. Sales today are between $100 and $125 on this book. So in 7 days, it's more than doubled in price.
Jeez.
So the window is probably rapidly closing on this as far as getting it for a good deal. But, you know, depending on how quickly stores price up their stock, you may be able to find one on a wall somewhere for $50.
Yeah.
And that would be a good grab at this point. So definitely be on this was already a book that people were out, you know, a lot of people have been on this book for a while anyways. It's never been, you know, a dollar book, or at least not for a long time. But you know, like I said, obviously it's got a lot of heat on it right now. That's it for back issue bonus.
All right, and let's get through the final order cutoffs for Monday.
All right, so again, we'll move through this pretty quickly. From Dark Horse Comics, we have two new series. We have Aliens Colonial Marines Rising Threat, issue number one. This should sell to any of the Aliens fans. You know, Dark Horse has an Aliens book every couple of months. So this, I imagine, will just be the same as everything else. And then Steeple, issue number one. This is a 5-issue miniseries. From DC, we have variant covers on Aquaman number 52, Josh Middleton. Batman 79 from Clay Mann. That's my pick of books for the week as far as covers go. I think it looks awesome. And then Supergirl number 34 by Derek Chu. Also a pretty good looking cover. And then 3 new series from DC. We have Flash Forward, issue number 1. This is going to be a 6-issue miniseries. It's 3 covers. DC did send us an advanced preview of this book today. I started reading it, and I gave up because the watermarks were covering too much of the dialogue, and I couldn't follow it along. But what I did read looked pretty interesting, so I think this is going to be a good series. If you're like me and you weren't happy with where Wally West ended at the end of Heroes in Crisis, this is going to be the book for you. Next, we have Harleen, issue number 1. This is a 3-issue miniseries. This is the Black Label Harley Quinn book that's coming out. And then we have Inferior 5, issue number 1. This is going to be a 12-issue miniseries, and there are 2 covers for that. And that's it for DC. Moving on to IDW, we have G.I. Joe, issue number 1. So a new G.I. Joe series from IDW. Their current series is on issue like 200 and something, so I'm not sure if they're rebooting or if this is going to be a concurrent series to it. Not 100% sure. From Marvel, we have Absolute Carnage issue number 3, the Ron Lim variant cover. Also a really good looking cover. That was the only Marvel variant that had an actual picture up for us to look at. And Marvel has two new series. They have Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda, issue number 1. And then the Spider-Man, the J.J. Abrams Spider-Man, issue number 1 of 5. There's multiple covers for that. And then last but not least, from Oni Press, we have Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons 2. And there are two covers for it. So Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons came out last year. It actually was a pretty good seller. So I look forward to taking a look at that one. And that's it for FOC.
All right. And this week, so instead of recommended reading from here forth until we come up with a new name, we'll just say this week's books. Get it?
I get it.
Cool.
Get it? Got it? Good.
All right. Let's get into this week's books.
All right. So I guess I'll go with my second one first, because I think we both read.
Sure.
My first one. So
yeah, and that's that one. Yeah, definitely. Let's do that.
All right. So the first book I want to talk about is from Image Comics. It is Pretty Violent, issue number 1. This is written by Derek Hunter and Jason Young, and it had art by Derek Hunter. So, what do I say about this book? I don't know. Did you get a chance to look at this at all today?
No, I wanted to. I didn't get a chance to though. It was a busy day.
Yeah. So this has this is a series featuring a wannabe superhero named Gamma Ray, and she is part of a family of supervillains, but she wants to be a hero. So she goes out into the world, and if you look at the cover, it's basically, it says Pretty Violent, and then underneath it, it said in lots of swear words or lots of cursing or something like that. And that's pretty much what this book was. You know, it looked kind of like a Cartoon Network, kind of almost like a Powerpuff Girls or something.
Yep.
But with lots of blood and guts and gore and swearing. You know, Gamma Ray is obviously a take on gamma radiation from Marvel. A lot of these characters were based on Marvel characters. There was an Iron Man character, a She-Hulk character, lots of different characters in this book. You know, I don't know what to say about this. Like I said, it was lots of blood, lots of guts, lots of entrails and body parts flying all over the place. It wasn't really my thing, but, you know, it's definitely made to be a funny book, and it kind of is. She's, you know, again, you know what it really reminded me of was The Deep from The Boys?
Yeah.
Where she wants to be a hero, but she does everything wrong. You
right.
know, she's killing people left and right. She's doing,
oh, no.
You know, yeah, it was kind of like when we talked about with The Boys, how, you know, they want to be heroes, but they don't know how because they don't have any training. And that's what this book was. Like, she was
so
just,
was it humorous at least?
It was humorous, but like I said, she was maiming and killing people left and right, you know, didn't know what she was doing.
Yeah.
But considered herself the hero and was just out there trying to do her thing.
Sounds pretty violent.
It was. it was definitely violent.
How many is the series?
I think it's ongoing. I think it's an ongoing series. Didn't have a number of issues attached to it.
Not to knock
least,
it, but it sounds
that
like
I could see.
That story is going to get old. No?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It may be a mini series. I didn't list it as one, and usually when I get this from Diamond, it tells me if it's a miniseries. So I think it's ongoing, but you're right. I don't know how much legs this story is going to have because it seems like a one trick pony that's already kind of done its trick in the first issue. So we'll see where it goes. But that's it. Pretty Violent from Image Comics.
All right, my book is Absolute Carnage versus Deadpool number 1 of 3 Marvel Comics, written by Matthew Rosenberg, art by Marcelo Ferreira.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted this just because I love reading Deadpool, and
yep.
I mean he's just funny. And it wasn't really as funny as I wanted it to be.
No,
it was good. Don't get me wrong. It's like I'm going to read the other two, but I've read better Deadpool.
Yeah, I liked it actually. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I mean I've read better Deadpool too.
Yeah,
I thought the best part of it was the beginning with Spider-Man, and then yeah. It kind of went downhill from there a little bit.
Well, yeah, when you open with Spider-Man, it's like yeah. Remember way back when in Daredevil when Spider-Man showed up.
Yeah.
And we were just blown away. You didn't open with that. You right. know, so, yeah, you kind of, you know, open with
well,
the
big...
I think
it was because he wasn't supposed to be part of the book. So,
right.
You know, it wasn't titled Spider-Man and Deadpool and Carnage. So I think the fact that he was there at all was a bonus.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah it was cool. But, if I'm going to say, am I going to recommend it, if you're a Deadpool fan and you haven't picked it up already... But I can't say, run out and get this Deadpool story.
No, for sure. I mean, it will play with the Absolute Carnage storyline.
Yeah, but you know what? That was the other thing I wanted to ask you about. This, to me, almost I didn't read, what was it, Scream last week?
Yeah.
I didn't read that one. I forgot to grab it. And then saw that this week, I'm like, oh, yeah, Scream came out last week, and I didn't even grab it today. But after reading this, I feel like... If you read Absolute Carnage, you're going to be okay, and these other storylines are going to be much of the same of him trying overtake other.
That's the same
stock,
way War of the Realms was, though. And I mean, we knew that yeah. was going to be the case. You know, it's how all these events are. If you only yeah. read the event, you're fine. You get all the information yeah. that you need. You know, with Scream, I read the Scream book last week. It wasn't great. But I do know that at the end of Absolute Carnage, Scream is going to be a character in an ongoing series.
Right.
So there will be things, I think, that happen in this book that will matter.
In Scream, you mean?
In Scream, yeah,
yeah.
At the end. But I also would agree with what you said. If you didn't read it at all, you won't have any trouble understanding Absolute Carnage.
Right.
So.
Right. I think the basis of Absolute Carnage is he's going after all... Marvel characters.
Pretty
that
much.
Well, that
anybody
have,
that's
well,
ever, yeah, anybody yeah. that's ever had a symbiote.
Right, which is all Marvel
pretty
characters.
Pretty much all Marvel characters.
We're back to
yeah.
what I said.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So, when you get, this, the Deadpool, I wanted to grab that because I wanted to see that. And I was hoping that it was going to be something that I'm like, you have to grab this. This is a riot. This is, you know.
Right.
And it just wasn't that. It's still good. It just didn't rise to that level that I'd say run out and grab it.
Yeah.
So, all right. You ready to... This one here, I mean, I saw it. It's in your notes. I wasn't sure if you were going to read it, but when you sent me your notes, what did I say to you? I'm like,
yeah,
this is so appropriate for today.
It's very relevant. Well, this is a book that could only be written in 2019, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, even today, in the last 24 hours, everything that's
yeah.
gone on social media and, you know, just how people are losing their minds... it's just really good. So why don't you go ahead and introduce the book.
Yeah, I'd say, so let's tell everybody what it is. So from Aftershock Comics, we have Bad Reception, issue number 1. This is written and drawn by Juan Doe. So yeah, this is basically a, I don't know how I want to even word this, but... It's an indictment of our society and social media and the status of that, right?
Right.
Without giving too much away, this is basically it revolves around a celebrity wedding between an author and the biggest starlet in the world or whoever. And they want to have a wedding and they want to do their wedding unplugged. So they're inviting their closest friends to the wedding. And there won't be any kind of technology allowed.
Right.
The guy that's getting married is an author, and he wrote a book called #Unplugged or something like that, where he talks about basically unplugging from social media and technology and getting back to living your life and living your life face to face with real people. I thought the best part of this book were those first three pages.
Yes.
Where there was no art, there was no anything. It was basically just an interview between, you know, an interviewer and the author that wrote the book.
Right. It was like a radio interview.
Right. And you don't see any, there's no art. It's basically just word bubbles through each
page.
Well,
there is art.
Well, there's a little bit of
art.
You find
out what it is later. But here's the thing. You never find that out in this book. This book, so everything that you just said is kind of the basis, but the name of the book is Bad Reception.
Right.
We never get to the reception in this book, but we know that it's, by the title,
we know
it's going to go bad.
Yeah.
We don't know how, but the basis of the story is everything John just said, is that it's so far in book one, it's basically saying how hard it is to disconnect from your phone.
Right.
And social media. And I reading this book, especially after today, where I had a hard time because I'm like, I had to put my phone, I usually do now, I have to put my phone on do not disturb 24/7, and otherwise it's crazy. But I thought, like, if we ever, I don't know, maybe you don't feel this way, but I feel like I would recommend this to everybody listening right now. Grab it in one way or another, at least read this first book. And if you're not grabbed by that, because we don't know what's going to happen after this, I think the story is so great for today. And when I say today, and I wrote that to you today, I texted you that today. I'm like, I mean today, the last 24 hours, but as you opened with the story, today as in the way we live.
Right.
And it's just that good of a comic book to set that stage. And then I can't wait to see where this is going to go. But I think, what was it, $3, $4, $3.99 for the book. I look for it. Find it. Even if you have to get it digitally, it's definitely worth the read. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I do. I liked it. I liked this book a lot. I really did. I really liked the beginning of it, where it was really just a commentary on social media. And I loved the...
It's a commentary on us.
Well,
everybody,
it is.
You know,
it
people.
Is. But I loved the line where they said, in regards to social media companies,
yes,
we are not the consumer. We're the product.
Right.
And I had never really thought of it that way, but something about that just struck me because that is so true. We are the product, and the consumer are the ad companies.
Right.
And, you know, and if you think about it, that's nothing new. I mean...
Nope.
TVs have had commercial forever. We've been the product for 50 years. I just didn't really know it.
Right.
You know,
they're buying our eyes.
Right. But I just thought that was really great. I love the idea of that. And then when you get into the book itself, it's just kind of, you know, they're going around and personally inviting everybody to their wedding and explaining to them the fact that they're not going to be able to use social media.
I won't say
and
who
the
character
the different
is.
Reactions. Yeah.
One character that's like talking about his girl.
Yeah.
He's like,
but
dude.
The level of reactions you get from each character when they think about going 24 hours without social media, or not even without social media, without a phone or being plugged in general.
Right. Unplugged 24 hours.
And it's hard. Like, if you tell me right now, like, when I'm sitting here at the house and the thunderstorm comes, I lose my crap if my Wi-Fi goes down for 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Because I can't watch TV, I can't do anything, and we're all that way. Like, if you say 24 hours with no technology, it's hard to imagine, you know?
I love social media, and I've turned it to to enjoy it, but I'm not that... I don't feel I'm that dependent on it.
Because
I have mine on Do Not Disturb 24/7. So the only way I could see it is if I consciously look at it, which means I consciously look at it a lot.
Right. But my statement wasn't to go without social media.
Right.
It was going without technology in general.
Yeah.
You know, to tell me I have to go 24 hours with no Wi-Fi, no phone, no... I can go without Twitter for the rest of my life. I don't care about that. it's but I need my technology. Like,
right.
Like I said, if I'm sitting here watching TV and the internet goes off, like, it shuts my entire life down. My TV, everything goes off, you know? And it's generally only for 5 or 10 minutes, not 24 hours.
See,
so
I love that. I have, like, when we built this house, I purposely bought a generator to run the house if we lose power. Right. So I can have my stuff. It doesn't run everything, but I'll have my essentials, heat,
right,
water, all that good stuff. But we used to go up to Maine for like 8 years. We rented a house up in Maine 3 weeks out of the summer, and the kids and Jen were up there, and nothing. They had nothing.
Yeah.
And it was great to go up there. And that was before social media was as big as it is
right
now.
But again, that was 10 years ago or 12 years ago or
well,
whatever
no,
it was.
Well, no, we were going up till 2013. So, yeah,
but I would still argue that in the last 6 years, we've become more dependent.
Yeah, but it's still unplugging. And I would love to do it again. I would love to do it again. You go away and just be like, bye-bye.
With every passing year, we become more dependent on technology, though.
Yeah.
Because our entire lives, like, again, even 6 years ago, you weren't as, like, Wi-Fi wasn't as big of a thing. Like, your whole house wasn't controlled by Wi-Fi. You still watch TV with your VCR and things like that. But the more advanced we become, the more dependent.
Look at you and I looking at each other.
I know,
right,
exactly.
Now,
we couldn't,
like,
do this without the technology that exists today.
Yeah.
So,
oh, it makes our life better, no doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to think that if I was put in that position, I could go 24 hours without technology. I mean, we could.
This book is more about the social media.
But nobody wants to.
Right. This book is more about the social media and going to a reception or a wedding and putting your phone away and only hanging out with the people at that reception. Where this goes bad, we don't know yet.
No, we
don't. But exactly the discussion we just had is exactly what I loved about this book.
Right.
It's like, I mean, there's a whole other part of this book that we don't know yet that's going to come, but look at what this book has already inspired.
Right.
And that's why I said, I'm like, if you're listening to us, it's like, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've said that about a few books since we started this podcast. Sometimes it's because they're just so much fun. Other times it's a big moment in a series. But this one here, I think, is just such a statement on society and pretty good art.
Right. With this one, I'm not necessarily recommending it as the entire series because I can't really. But I agree with you that this book alone is worth just picking it up and reading it. Even if you decide you don't want to go forward on it, I still think it was worth the $3. Bucks. And again, this was a pretty deep read. Like, this had a lot of substance to it.
Oh yeah,
it was
still talking about it.
I don't want to say it, but I don't want to say it was overly wordy. But in the general context of comic books now, this was like War and Peace. Like, there was a lot, there was a lot to this. I didn't get through it in 6 or 7 minutes. Let's put it that way.
It wasn't a Green Lantern, but
right, that's true.
But it is definitely especially. And like you said, those first 3 or 4 pages where it's just those, words and the art, I should say, grows on each page.
Yes.
You'll see what we mean when you see it. But it's that background stuff. Do you want to touch on that for a second? Like with the, I guess it's called a hunting scene.
Well, yeah.
That just keeps popping in that I'm like.
Every page was basically a two-page spread.
Yes.
Like every except for the very first page, because obviously it was just the first page. But every one of these was a two-page spread where you read the entire – there was like three rows of panels.
Right.
And the bottom row was like – it was like some kind of hunting scene with no dialogue or anything. You just kind of followed it along through the entire book.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an undercurrent to everything that was going on above it.
It was weird,
but it was kind of letting you know
goes.
It's kind of letting you know what's coming up in the next couple. Because I don't know if I don't know if you even read my the synopsis of this, but this is a murder mystery.
No,
like,
I know.
Okay.
Well, you know that in the first three pages.
Right. But
you know what I mean? It's like the first three pages tell you that, because that's what the art is that that leads you to that. But yeah, it's, I mean, pick it up. Pick it up.
Yeah, like I said, it's worth it. Just I would say just get it.
All right. Before we go on. Oh man. Long night.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's okay.
We had a lot tonight though.
Yeah.
A lot tonight. Maybe some breaking news on Monday when we do Star Wars.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that. And that should do it for tonight.
Well, no, I got something else on here.
Oh, you do? I'm sorry. I didn't ask.
And I know we're going long, but I cannot believe that you do not want to talk about Superman Year One.
Because
I thought for sure you were going to want to bring up Superman Year One.
I forgot. We had we've talked so much. Yeah, you're right. All right, let's go. What'd you think?
Well, I think at this point you should look at the timestamp on your thing. Because I thought it was a great big steaming pile of
language.
I cannot stand that book. I thought it was terrible. I hate it. I hate every bit of it. So I know
I
you feel
you
completely
might.
Differently.
I thought you might. Nope. I went in this morning and I talked to Ernie about it and I was like, what did you think? And he liked it. I like it. I think it's a crazy take. But the whole time I'm reading it, I'm like, John is going to hate people. I said, people are going to hate this.
Yeah.
And that's why I said to Dr. Joe today, I'm like, people are going to talk about it though. It's going to be talked about because it's Superman. And people are going to read it, and people are going to be like, what are they doing here?
I don't know.
I don't understand the Poseidon part. That's
that was weird. But that was weird.
Yeah, that I didn't understand, but I don't understand why. So here's my thing. I get that everybody wants – or people don't like it. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. But how many Batman stories do we have that are Elseworld stories and everybody loves them? But you do a Superman story and it's, you know, he's a Navy SEAL and everybody's losing their minds because this isn't right. And
I don't, it's, for me, it's not that. I just think it's terrible. I just think, again, and I know you mentioned earlier that this book is not about the art, but this is a visual medium and the art is terrible.
I chose my words purposefully because if the story was awesome, you wouldn't care about the art.
Right, but it isn't.
There's different books out there. There's books that have great stories and the art isn't that good, but you ignore it because the story's so good. Stories that have great art that the story isn't very good, but the art's so good. But then on the other hand, you have books that have both. This story, I don't think, obviously the art doesn't carry this story. It doesn't, I agreed with you in the first book that the art doesn't match the black label. That didn't make sense to me. But at the end of the day, I was intrigued by the story and I was intrigued by the second story. If nothing for the part when he, and I'll go into a little bit of a spoiler, but when the SEALs storm that room and he's got his guns drawn and I'm like, is Superman going to kill? And that
he might
that,
as well.
It's an Elseworld story. So I didn't know what was going to happen here. So that to me, but I had a like visceral feeling. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen here? For a story to do that to me, I thought was great.
Yeah.
That it actually like it made me like I couldn't put the story down. I wanted to see what was going to happen next. The whole, I almost said Aquaman, but the whole Poseidon thing, that was weird to me.
Yeah, you think?
So, but I didn't know. And Ernie told me this morning, I didn't know the mermaid. What was her name?
That's Lori Lamaris.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
No, she's a well-known character. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that I thought was cool.
Yeah, she's an established character, so I knew that. I mean, I knew who she was right away.
Yeah, but she came after Lana before Lois.
Right.
I never knew that part. I always knew Lana to Lois.
Right.
So.
I don't know, because I get what you're saying about, you know, obviously all books have art and words, and some of them are better than others. But I didn't think this had either one. Like, I can live with bad art, like you said, if the story takes me through it. But this didn't take me through it. Like, this, I don't know why, it just irritated me. It just really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I didn't like it at all. I get that I understand that it's an Elseworlds story, and I can get on board with Elseworlds, like you said, with Batman and, you know, whatever. I just didn't think it was, I don't know, I just, something about it, I don't think the writing is good. I don't like this, I didn't like the take, I don't like it at all. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah.
I thought this book was entirely disjointed. It was like two different books completely.
Yeah.
Because the whole first half of the book was the Navy SEAL thing, which, you know, again.
But that lent him to the second half of the story,
it,
where
it
he
did.
Goes
well,
underwater.
Right.
And
it,
he,
it did, he, but it felt so disjointed. Like, I don't know, like, why we went there, you know, at all after the Navy SEAL thing. And then, like I said, yes, I know that it's an Elseworlds story, but the portrayal, the ego in the portrayal of Superman, of Clark Kent, I don't know, it just really bothers me. I don't like it at all. You know, the book starts off with him saying, you know, Pa told me not to show off, and he does nothing but show off through every single page of the first half of this book. Like, he does nothing except prove his superiority to every single person in this book.
Well, and that's what I said. I said that to Ernie this morning. I'm like, he doesn't want to kill people, but yet he can't not hit dead center.
Exactly.
And become a sniper. You know? And it's like, what do you think's going to happen?
Right. Where do you think you're going? What do you think this path is taking you on? Navy SEAL.
Well, they could put you in the Olympics for shooting?
Right. So, I don't know. Like I
but
said.
But see, I found that intriguing, though. I was like, what is he doing? And it's like, you know, and then it's, not to me, just because I don't agree with something doesn't mean I don't like it. Because I'm he's an idiot. But he's a kid. And he's an idiot. He's not being Clark. Clark's a bumbling idiot. And in this one, he wasn't.
Here's where I'll tell you. When we got to the middle of the book, where he's basically, you know, saying goodbye. He got bounced out of the SEALs, and he's saying goodbye to everybody. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I guess that wasn't so bad. But then there was 30 more pages. Right. Of just, like, the stupidest stuff I've ever read. Like, if that was the end of the book, like, I was like, well, that wasn't so bad,
that
you know?
That was the most captivating part, was the first half of the book.
But
and then,
and don't even get me started on the fact that the guy's cutting his hair with one of those vacuum cleaner hair cutters, because it's well established that he has to use his heat vision to cut his damn hair, because it can't be cut with scissors. So I don't know how the Flobee was even doing that.
Well, they said it had,
and I know they made a comment that it took multiple blades, but it shouldn't have took any blade, because it shouldn't have happened. And that really stuck on me. I was like, I don't understand that. It still bothers me that he has this like mental telepathy power where he's, you know, influencing people to do what he wants. I didn't
see him do that in this story.
I
remember
at one point
from the first story.
At one point they mentioned it in this book. I don't remember exactly when. But
Jedi mind tricked somebody?
I do, yeah. At one point he did something. And then he was telepathically communicating with all the mermaids and stuff. Because at one point it said where he pushed his thoughts into them. It wasn't the other way around. Because that was something that they said. So again, not powers that Superman has. Like, the dude's got enough. Like, do we have to start inventing more things that Superman can do?
Professor X,
too? It's like, I mean, poor Superman. He can only do everything. Let's give him a couple more things that he can do. I don't know.
But, all right, so do you see why I said, like, to Dr. Joe on Twitter, I'm like, you got to read this. And it's like, I knew you would hate it, but it's like, it's one of those things that it's like, hey, I'm sorry. If you don't like it, it's going to be a great discussion anyways.
Yeah. I mean, you know? And I'll tell you, and again, this is detriment. Even me saying this right now is detrimental to my business because I have copies of this that I want to sell on the shelf. But right. I literally had a customer ask me about this book today,
and I told him
it was garbage. I said that I don't like it, and I didn't sell it. Now, I could have said, well, you know, I need to sell a copy of issue 1 and 2 to this guy mm-hmm. for $15 and said something to make him buy it, but I couldn't. Like, I just literally couldn't. Now, yeah. I will not stop anybody from buying it, obviously, when they come to the counter with it, but I can't, in good conscience, I can't recommend it to somebody. Like, I can't right. say, I think it's a good book and you should buy it. I think it's a waste of money. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, that's a little detrimental to my sales because I could have used the $15 in sales. But right. I don't want the guy to come back to me next week and say, I'm not buying any more books from you because you told me to buy this pig pile of you know what. And I thought it was terrible. So
well, right. Right. No, I know. And you want it to be credible. And I'm like I said, I like the book. So I'm not going to say that I didn't like the book.
Right.
But and I have my reasons for liking the book. But and that's what I said to, you know, Dr. Joe today, and I stand by it. But if I know people aren't going to like it, I knew it when I was reading it.
Yeah.
And but I know people are going to like it, too.
Somebody
so
obviously
it's to each
yeah,
his own.
People will like it. And, you know, again, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I just didn't want to let this go by because I've been waiting all day.
I honestly forgot about this book.
And I was like, I can't believe he's ready to wrap this up and he's not going to
bring
up Superman.
Yeah, I know. Thank God you've mentioned it because I would have felt awful if we were like, oh my God, we forgot that because that's a big part. So what a night.
All right. Holy now we're an hour and 45 minutes into the short part of our show.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Is that everything?
Actually. Well, yeah. Make sure you don't have anything else. I read a bunch of other books today, too, but I don't think
How
we have time.
How about Daredevil?
I read that. I did, but I was just going to say, I don't think we have time to keep talking about more books, but...
All I'll say is, great story. I think the artwork's not as good as it was at the beginning.
Yeah, I didn't like the art at all either. The story was good, though. But again, that's one to me where the story carried the book.
Yeah, and that's why I was just flipping through the books, my stack of books here, and I'm like, oh yeah, Daredevil. Yeah. That's about it. I got Daredevil. I like the variant cover of Daredevil, though. That was cool.
Yes, it was very nice.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we got.
Okay.
It's late.
Yep.
All right. Yell at me on Twitter, thebrightside _ chat. I owe Dr. Joe a book.
Well, he might have liked it. You don't know. Has he said
anything? Oh, no. He's Team John. He does think more like you.
Okay.
I think more... I don't want to say
We didn't talk about powers either, but we'll save that for another day.
Oh my God.
I know, we don't have time. Let's just move on.
Yeah. Oh man. It was good. I'll say that. It wasn't, but I know. No, but it was typical powers.
It was.
You know what I mean? It's in like we say every week, and it's like I think these are going to play out at the
end. Except we live this entire issue in the timeline that I don't want to be
right.
in.
Right. And it, well, I think that's the thing. It's being in the 100-year.
Yeah, we are talking about it anyway, so.
Well, it is our podcast.
Well. Yeah.
It's your store. You kick me out. I know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, I think it's a necessary line we have to follow.
Yeah.
It's not as enjoyable as House, but right. I think we're all just anticipating how this is going to all meet up.
You know what and did strike? Go ahead.
I was just saying, and we're enjoying this, watching this new world be built.
Yeah. The one thing that did strike me today, though, is even with this book where, like I said, the entire book takes place in the 100-year timeline, but we have two basically immortal X-Men in Apocalypse and Wolverine, and mm-hmm. none of them are present in the year 1000 timeline.
Right.
So that's a story I am interested in. You know, to see what happened there, because it doesn't look like any of them exist in year 1000. So we'll have to see where that goes.
Did you see at the bottom of the page where they that one of that those white pages where they had Apocalypse at the top and then the four
horsemen?
Wolverine
was
and it said at the bottom four horsemen of the apocalypse, which I thought was pretty cool.
That was cool. Yeah. And I also, you know, we had Maura McTaggart, well, Maura X, basically.
Yeah.
And she had just ended her ninth life. But that's not the same Maura McTaggart.
Pretty cool ending.
So now I'm wondering, she's obviously one of the genetic, has to be one of the genetic Mr. Sinister offshoots of Maura McTaggart, I guess.
Yeah.
With similar abilities. So now I'm kind of curious what her other eight lives looked like in those timelines.
Well,
that she
yeah,
had.
That's
so,
just it. Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta, so I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's intriguing in that. But still.
It's definitely not as.
We spent the whole book really not with any of the characters that we wanted, that I wanted
right,
to be with.
Exactly.
So.
It's not as cover to cover entertaining as House.
Right.
It's more along that intriguing line. That's a great way to put it. It was very intriguing.
Yes.
So you know, it's not awful.
No, not at all.
You want the next one, yep. But I definitely enjoy House more. I'm looking
but
forward
to like
next
the, I do, yeah, I am looking forward to getting the back-to-back House issues now.
Is that even next week?
It is. It's 3 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that gets us back on track.
Yeah, right, because remember there was 2 Powers back-to-back, and then we get 2 House back-to-back. So, kind of looking forward to that. Maybe, correct me if I'm wrong. I know you're looking.
Yeah,
at
I'm looking, because I thought that. Nope, you're right. Yeah. Powers, House, Powers, House.
Right.
Powers.
Yeah.
Cool.
And again, we still have the red highlighted House number 5 coming up soon that we're wondering about, so.
Yeah, and is that the last red? Nope, the last book is red also, so there's 3 yeah. red.
Right. Well, that makes sense that the last one would be.
Well, the last one is, the first 2 red ones are House, and the last red one is a Powers book.
So we end on Powers.
End on Powers. Okay. Yeah.
Hopefully isn't a low point. We'll see. We'll see. I can't imagine by the time we get to the installment number 12
book.
That
yeah.
anything's going to be a low point. I think it's going to be...
Well, I hope not, because I'm really enjoying it more than War of the Realms.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's just, like I said, part of the fascination is the whole world-building thing we got going on here, and rebuilding, I should say.
Again, you know, it's hard to say. This is a bold statement, because we don't know what's going to happen, but, I mean, there's certain evergreen titles out there, something like Watchmen or Batman mm-hmm. the Killing Joke, where they're graphic novels that you can sell... We could sell for the next 30 years. I think this is going to be one of those graphic, like when this is collected into a 12, you know, into a graphic novel, I really think this is going to be one of those stories that, you know, is going to sell for years and years and years. Now, that being said, if the whole thing just implodes on itself when it gets to monthly series, maybe that won't be the case, but I think this will stand the test of time as a story that, yeah. You know, if you look at the X-Men graphic novels, people want to buy Days of Future Past and, like,
yeah.
the Dark Phoenix saga. And I think this will be one that's going to be up there.
Well,
know,
like I said, I think
stories,
this,
so.
I think this world is what's going to end up in the MCU. I think
well,
it
could
plays
be. I don't,
to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I go with you there 100% yet, but it could be. You know, we don't know.
6 years from now, that's a pretty old book.
Yeah, and it could be the new norm by then.
Exactly. You know, that's my point. So, All right,
we're really done now.
Exactly. And 6 years from now, we'll be playing that clip.
Yeah.
We called it. No. All right, we're really done now. Yell at me on Twitter, email thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. I'm getting tired.
Yeah. He's getting punchy, Fulton.
Yeah, we're getting punchy. all right. I'm sorry, Dr. Joe.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Peace, guys.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com, Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com, Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.